I am so glad you're here, and I'm glad we've set aside this Sunday to honor our Sunshine Department and those who work, and to honor God by that ministry that goes on in the life of this church. And folks, I want you to hear from them. Like I say, I'm not preaching a message. I'm going to close things out this morning after Rebecca comes in just a few minutes, but that's it. So you don't have to worry. It's not going to have to listen to long-winded me this morning. But next week, no, I'm kidding, that's for sure. But we're glad you're here. Jane, come, my dear, would you? Jane is directing this division, this group, and along with so many. And Jane, while you're coming, Miss Janet and Linda and all of y'all, if you work or have worked in our Sunshine Department, okay, if you work and have worked in our Sunshine Department, would you stand up wherever you are? All our workers that I have and whatever. Thank you, folks. Yeah. Yes. What a ministry, and we thank God for this ministry. I thank God for Jane, and I thank God what this dear lady has faced in the last few weeks, but she's been a trooper, to say the least, and not only being here and taking care of things, and I'm glad this lady's in charge. So, Miss Jane, I'm going to let you take this from here, and anything you need me to do, I'll do, okay?
We'd like to welcome you this morning to Sunshine Sunday 2010. Most of you have been before. You know all about our department, what we do, how we started. But I'd like to take a minute and ask you a question. Have you ever been somewhere that you didn't really feel comfortable? Maybe you didn't feel like you fit in? I want you to stop and think about how that felt. Maybe you didn't feel like you had on the right clothes, or there was just something about it that you'd feel like you felt like you weren't a part of what was going on. Well, that's kind of how people with disabilities feel. You know, they don't always do things the same way everybody else does. I will have to tell you, majority of them are quite capable of learning, but maybe they have to learn it a different way from the way most people do. And for some of them, it's a hard thing to do. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of determination, a lot of time. But we do eventually get the job done. And I want you to know, we meet every Sunday morning, 9:45. We might not worship like your class does, but I'm here to tell you, we worship every Sunday morning. And I think God recognizes, without a doubt, that we do worship. I'd also like to tell you, Randy says I'm in charge. Well, I'm not. This is a team effort. And no one in our class in particular stands out. We work together. But not only that, you're a part of that team too. I don't know if you realize it or not, but without everyone in here, we would not make it as a class. You support us financially, emotionally. Anytime we need anything, all we have to do is ask, and you're always there. And that just goes to show you why, after 26 years, we are still here. And I think Miss Nettie would be very proud to know that what she started, and they told her in the beginning it would never work. Well, guess what? It did, and it's still working. So this morning, I would like for them to sing. We took a vote in our class, and they chose the songs. It's songs that they like to hear. And now I'm going to turn it over to them to sing for you.
All right. Well, isn't this a good-looking group of folks? Put your hands together and welcome these folks. I'm telling you, they're good looking. They are good looking. Their first song, one of their favorites, is I'll Fly Away. And I can't see Miss Pam back there, but Miss Pam, you hit it. Thank us all. Okay?
Oh,
think this would be favorite number 107 in my book. But anyhow, Jesus loves me. What a sweet song.
They have three children, and their youngest son is 2 years old, and he has Down syndrome. Rebecca is on the board of directors for Right in the Community, and if you're not familiar with that name, it used to be the Association for Retarded Citizens, and it has been around for a long time. And she's going to come this morning and share a few things with us. So I will turn it over to her now.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have been to a lot of churches, but this is the first time in all of my life to ever be at the pulpit. So this is very exciting for me. And let me tell you something else. I think this is the first church, I know it's the first church I've ever been to with such an outreach program, the Sunshine Class that you have. I am speechless just from being here this morning. I had no idea what to expect. I am a new board member with Right in the Community. Jerry Pascal, who's the executive director, and I'll tell you a little bit about how I met her, she asked me to come and speak today, and I think because I'm a lawyer and nobody's perfect. I did not expect that Jane would tell everyone that I was a lawyer, so I was hoping to avoid that altogether. But I do practice law. My husband and I both do, right here in Marietta. And anyway, so Jerry Pascal asked me to come and asked me to speak. Jerry's a new friend of mine. She is a great lady, great lady. She started Right in the Community. And it's been in operation since, 1956. That's a long time. They offer support for families who have children with disabilities, with mental retardation, and all those issues during a time when it was just not even heard of. They built the first school in Cobb County, the first special needs summer camp, the first respite home, and the first daycare center right here in Cobb County. And I don't know about the other counties, but I think Cobb is doing something really unusual here. And you're doing something really unusual in your church. We've been here for this long to help families, and we're going to continue to help families. Now, we currently have built 21 group homes for adults with developmental disabilities. We have a respite care home in Smyrna where we do weekend crisis care for families who have children with special needs. And we also have an office in Marietta where we help people with all sorts of questions about Medicare waivers, Social Security and Medicaid paperwork, anything that you need to know and you need help with if you have a child with special needs. Now, I'll tell you, when I think Jane already told you I have three children. Isabella, who's 9 years old, is here with me today. Thank you, Isabella, for coming. I don't think she or I didn't really know what to expect today. I have an older son, Michael, who we adopted from the country of Latvia. He is 13 years old. He's been with us for almost 2 years now. We set out on a mission when Isabella was about 8 years old to adopt a child. I was getting older, and Isabella was dying for a sister. So I thought, what a wonderful thing to do. We'll adopt a child. So we thought we would go internationally and look for a child that needed a home. And long story short, we came in contact with a hosting company where you can pick out children and have them come to your home, and you can pay for them to come to your home. And it's a Christian outreach program where you can bring them to your home, and they can see what it's like to be in a Christian family and see what it's like to have a family atmosphere. A lot of these kids that are in orphanages all over the world don't know what it's like to have parents. So we picked a little girl that had just lost her mother recently. And when they were about to close down their choosing, they had one little boy that had not been picked of all the children. And he had these teeth that stuck out in the front that made him look quite unattractive. And I just took to him. I had braces when I was young and wore them for years and years and years. And there's no telling what I would have looked like if my parents hadn't had the good judgment to put braces on me. So I went to my husband and I said, this one little boy, you know, why don't we bring him along too? We'll host him. We had no intention of adopting a boy. After all, Isabella wanted a sister. So we brought both of them, and they were in our home for 5 weeks. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. The little girl, consequently, became unavailable. She had family members who took her from the orphanage. Well, I found this out after I found out that I had a surprise pregnancy. All of a sudden, here I was pregnant in my 40s. How did that happen? My husband looked at me and said, honey. Well, what a joy. It was unexpected, but we were going to adopt not one child, but two children at this time. So we thought, oh, wow, this is quite a challenge. God has really put something in front of us. And I found myself 4 months pregnant in the country of Latvia with a little boy in his orphanage for a week, getting to know him and going through the adoption process. So we came home, and we knew when I was pregnant that we might have a child with Down syndrome. The specialist told us that he might have 85 different maladies. They wouldn't tell us for sure. We did not do all the tests that they want us to do because we wanted this child. They encouraged us to do all sorts of tests when they found out I was pregnant. But we said, we love this child, and we're going to keep this child no matter what. But our main concern was that he be healthy. So when he came into our lives, and he was born in June of 2008, Michael came to us then November of 2008. So I got two boys at the same year. Didn't know anything about boys, but got two boys in the same year. And little Eli has been such a blessing to us and such a blessing to Michael and to Isabella. He is the glue that holds our family together, really. Everybody loves Eli. We may not all be getting along, but we all love Eli. So he's really been such a blessing to us, and I've learned so many things through his existence and him being here. And consequently, I've learned all sorts of things about children with disabilities. And it's been such a joy to me. It's opened up a whole new area of my practice of law. I knew a little bit about Down syndrome because my best girlfriend, my best school days girlfriend, her first child when she was 25 was born with Down syndrome. And so we kind of grew up with Ross. So we knew a little bit about what to expect. But nobody really knows everything that you need to know. And that's where Right in the Community fits in. I had a very good friend, one of the Superior Court judges here. Some of you may know her, Adele Grubbs. She went to Jerry, and she told Jerry, unbeknownst to me, that Rebecca was having a child with Down syndrome, and would she help me? Well, unbeknownst to me, Jerry apparently had gotten a lot of calls from a lot of my friends in the community telling her, could you please help Rebecca? So after Eli was born and I was moving into a new office, sat down at my desk, and one of the first notes I got was from Jerry Pascal. And she said, I can't believe this. I can't believe her office is right down the hallway from mine, as it turns out. So she and I became fast friends, and everything that I needed to know about the Katie Beckett waiver, about special needs, about what school to go to, everything that you need to know, Jerry always had an answer, or she pointed me in the right direction. She's been such a blessing, and Right in the Community has been such a blessing, and it has been for so many people. You know, there are families, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here, but there are families out there who need, who are caring for individuals with disabilities that need care 24/7, and a lot of times all they need is just a break on the weekend, and that's what Right in the Community does. Right in the Community gives those families breaks. It gives a lot of families and adult children with disabilities the possibility of living on their own in a group home. This is a pretty miraculous thing, 21 group homes in Cobb County. And what you guys are doing here with your Sunshine class, I was talking to Jane earlier, I think you're maybe one of two churches in Cobb County that we know of that does things like this. It became a concern to me because I thought, well, I wonder what it's going to be like for us when we start going to church and when Eli needs to, you know, comes to church with us. He needs to have a family. But you would be surprised the churches that turn away people with special needs just because they're different, just because they may laugh at times when you wouldn't expect them to laugh, or make noises when you wouldn't expect them to make noises. But of all things, our churches should be like Christ, right? I mean, that's what Jesus tells us. And it is just shocking to me that there aren't more churches out there that are serving the needs of the disabled and welcoming there to their church home. You guys are phenomenal in what you do, and we need more of you. And that's kind of going to be my mission with Right in the Community. Is I want to go to every church in Georgia and tell them that they need to have folks with special needs. I mean, you walk into a church and I'm amazed. You don't see wheelchairs. You don't see anybody with special needs. And I think maybe they just need to be educated. And of all places, we need to have Christ, an example of Christ in our churches. And you guys do a wonderful thing. And I've got some. Now, let me tell you. This is something that Jerry did want me to go over. There are many times you ask, how can we help? And, of course, you guys are doing so much already. But what I've suggested is maybe churches can maybe sponsor a group home. We've got 21 here in Cobb County. And maybe we should get churches to sponsor group homes. And there's all sorts of things that they like to do. They want to go to the movies. You can make a friend. Commit to maybe sharing Christmas gifts at a time when they don't get gifts, because many people that are in our group homes have families, but their families are aged, and they don't necessarily have anyone that brings them gifts around the holidays. You know, they change and need clothes, and you can make a buddy or take a buddy out to the movie. As soon as I started talking about this with Isabella, the first thing she said today, of course, why don't we go and, you know, take somebody to the movie today? It's a great, I mean, kids are wonderful with this. They love helping, and they don't see a difference. They might know that there's a difference there, but they're very, very accepting. And I say that is because children are, I think children are closer to God. They still have that godliness because their egos are not so developed. I think of ego as edging God out. And the older you get, the more the ego becomes powerful in your life, then the less you're aware of godliness and what it means to be a Christian. And so I think young children are so close to God, and they're so wonderful with some of our special needs people. So there's all sorts of things that you can do. We have a golf, we have an annual golf tournament every year where you can sponsor a golfer, or you can do something like that. And of course, there's always money. For our group homes, for the 21 group homes, every one that we build, we have to furnish. And we spend about $30,000 a home in furnishing that home. We buy new furniture and new accessories. We do this because we want things to be nice for these families, and we want things to last. That's expensive. It costs money. So we have to raise money. And so if I've got some brochures, I've got some envelopes, if there's any of you that find it in your heart and you have the ability to help us, feel free. If you have any questions, Isabella and I are going to have lunch. And if you have any questions about Right in the Community, if you have anything that you'd like me to know or any questions you'd like to ask me, unless it's a question about lawyering. I'm just teasing. It seems like everywhere I go, if people know I'm a lawyer, they have all sorts of questions for me. But I'm happy to answer them. And so you've got me during lunchtime. And we've got some brochures. We've got some information on Right in the Community. And I just want to say thank you so much for having me here and letting me speak. Again, I really didn't know what to expect. And if I knew that this was your day to celebrate your Sunshine class, maybe I would have prepared something even longer to speak about. It seems like, you know, lawyers always want to talk. We have plenty to talk about. But this is such a blessing to me. that you were so interested in what we had to say and what our organization is about. And I really appreciate you letting me come and letting me speak on behalf of Right in the Community. And I really, really appreciate everything that you guys do. And I hope that what you do with your church and with the mission that you have, that we can spread this out to other churches right here in Cobb County so that everybody can be blessed, because there are disabled people all over Cobb County. And it's so sad to me to think that you have a child that's different, you have a family member that's different, and you might not have anywhere to go because you might not feel comfortable. And you guys are a shining star out there. And I hope that we can take this everywhere to Cobb County. And God bless you all. Thank you again.
Rebecca and her family are serving the Lord in the context of their law practice. And we thank God for you folks and for your ministry here with us. Let me tell you what, folks. It's absolutely incredible. And she's exactly right in terms of ministry. It is so good to be a part of this group. And in a minute, Doug's going to come after we take our offering, and we're going to share in a song, and he's going to sing My Tribute. But you know, Jane, when I think of Nettie, I go back to the scripture of Matthew 25:40, where Jesus looked at the disciples, and he said to those men, those 12 guys around him, he said, when you do this kind of service to one of the least of these, the lowest of the earth, is literally what he said, you've done it unto me. And that's what this ministry is all about. Because they're ministry like never before. And the Lord says, when in fact you do that to them, to one another, you're doing it to the Lord Jesus. Now that changes the perspective big time, doesn't it? Wow. I want those who are going to take our offering to come. And as you come, I want us to join in prayer and thank God for our Sunshine Department, for the ministry this church has. And I want to echo what Rebecca has said. Folks, thank you for doing such a ministry. Thank you that when those who would have said years ago to Nettie, it won't last, God proved that wrong real quickly. God does that, you know. We have little faith so much of the time, and then God comes back and blows us away by what he does. Incredible. Would you pray with me? Father, we are humbled by the fact of ministry. We are humbled by the fact of what you said to your disciples, that when you've done those things to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the perspective of ministry, that when we reach out to one another, we are in fact reaching out to the God of this universe. And how that does change our perspective. It changes our perspective for right here in this community, for this county, this state, this nation, and literally to the ends of the world. And Father, you've given us the privilege to be a part of that through our cooperative program, through our churches, through our individual ministries, through the work of this church, and through our giving. So Father, we bring that gift. We give that to you. And then, Lord Jesus, you take not only the money, you take 100% of our lives and continue to mold us. Lord, I know you're guiding us every day of our life. And Father, at least for me, I just ask you for the good old human common sense and the spiritual wisdom to follow in the path that you've laid out for me. And I pray that for all those here. Accept your offering, Lord Jesus. It belongs to you. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Say thanks for the things you have done for me. being so undeserved. Yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary.
Tribute, Andre Crouch. Wow, thank you, Doug. I share with you that scripture, that short half of the last part of Matthew 25, verse 40. It's in your bulletin. Take out your bulletin, it's on the back of that, because I want you to say it with me. That's our scripture memory verse for the week. Will you say that with me? Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Wow. We think, y'all, of the power of that one little verse. Now, the context of Matthew chapter 25 is the Lord puts three things in those 24 and 25 in particular. One is the destruction of Jerusalem. He said that not a stone would be left in the city. And in AD 70, Jerusalem was wiped out. Big time. And not only that, he talks about the second coming, the glorious appearing, as Titus would call it, the time when Jesus returns to this earth after the tribulation and sets up his kingdom on this earth and reigns 1,000 years. The second coming of Jesus Christ. And folks, and he weaves this together to the disciples. And he spends those two chapters But a pivotal verse in these chapters is found in 25:40. He said the bottom line for believers is service. James said it like this: faith without works is what, folks? Dead. It's nothing. It's not faith. So we know that service, ministry, the Greek people had an incredible way to refer to servant. Many of you, through those messages I preached months ago, it's a Greek word called, do you remember? Anybody say it? Doulos. Yes, doulos. It means a servant, but that Greek word means a servant that is bound to that master. And folks, except you do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. If we understand that in its context, when Jesus has got his disciples and he's looking them square in the eye and he's teaching them, he wants them to understand that when you minister to anyone in our Sunshine class, when you minister to any of our workers, when you minister outside and inside this church, whatever you do as a believer, and we know he's talking to believers, you're doing it to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that boss at work that's absolutely getting on your nerves, that you'd soon close the door on, hang them, or do whatever it takes, the Bible says you minister to them, you serve them under God, because what you do to them is done to who, y'all? The Lord Jesus. When someone pulls out in front of you in traffic, and you're driving, and all of a sudden you have to put on your brake to keep from hitting them, and you're just about ready to scream. Oh, preacher, you are. Go keep praying. That's right. You're going to meddling now, but the Bible says how you even react to that person. I'm as guilty as all of us in here with that, you know? You know? But you see what I'm saying? Except you do it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you do it unto the Lord. Even at the traffic light. This week, let me challenge you. About 100% of you all will either be in Walmart, Target, this is not a commercial, Kroger, Publix, help me out, you know, Aldi and all the others. You'll be somewhere in a grocery store or a hardware store, or you'll be somewhere where you buy something. I want to challenge you to do something. When you go through that cash register and that young man or woman or that older gentleman or older lady checks you out, I want you to think, wonder what that lady and that man's gone through before they ever showed up at work today. Maybe their power's turned off. Maybe their car note couldn't be paid. Maybe they're this. Maybe they're that. Maybe they've had a fight with their husband or their kids. Maybe they're in litigation about some interesting that's whatever that's going on. You don't know what that person has faced, but I want to challenge you to do something. Do something at that cash register that will exhort and build up that person. And it may be just to say, you know, I sure do appreciate you. You may be the light that that person needs today. While everybody else has condemned her and him, has pulled them down, has complained, negative comment after negative comment after negative comment, and then you walk in, you say, you know, thank you for checking out these. How's your day? Will you do that? And let me tell you why. Three things. Those disciples and fellow believers were called what in Matthew 25:40? What was that word? Brothers. Brothers. That's another interesting word I love in the Greek language. We have nothing in the English to compare with it. It is a little word called adelphos. Doesn't even sound like brothers. But it means a brother. It means more than a kin. It means a spiritual brother. Every time adelphos is used, it literally means to refer to the brethren, a believer. So the Bible says, except you do it to, when you, assuredly I say, when you do this type ministry to one of the least of these, my brothers, fellow believers, he's looking around at that, and understand that he's talking about. And then I want to say something else to you. Your personal action reflects the attitude of your heart. Now, folks, we can talk about this till we're blue in the face, but the bottom line is this. If you love Jesus, you'll minister. Simple. There's no gray area in that. You'll pray for, you'll minister, you'll find a way, you'll do that. Why? Because you love Jesus. You'll minister through the context of this church. You'll minister through the context of each other, and you'll minister to these folks, and we'll minister to one another. The attitude, literally, your personal action is reflected in the attitude of your heart, what you do or what you don't do. That's what Jesus said here. And then the third thing he says, this genuine Christian action is ultimately directed toward Jesus. That's what James talked about this morning. That's what we've, if I ever knew a lady in my life that professed and preached and lived Jesus Christ, it was Nettie. Everything Nettie, I can remember her walking in this door right here, and I remember every time she catered Connie and I's wedding almost 38 years ago. I remember it. I think Connie's in the nursery, but will you all please tell her I got it right? If it's wrong, I'm history. You won't see me again. It's simple as that. But Nettie catered our wedding, and I remember Nettie. Every time you saw, and many of you remember Nettie Holcomb, what'd she do? She smiled. You didn't see that lady that she wasn't happy. And God put a vision in that lady's heart 26 years ago to begin this ministry right here. And praise God, all of us with little faith. And some who said, you know, this just won't work here. Look what God did. Wow. I'm blown away by that. I am blown away by that. Genuine Christian action is ultimately directed toward Jesus Christ. My dad taught me service years and years ago, and he didn't sit down in a chair and talk to me. He showed me what it was all about. I was about 9 or 10 years old. We had just come to Olive Springs. And I remember that Sunday afternoon, which we usually did, we went one of two places on Sunday afternoon. My grandmother's house just behind First Baptist or First Methodist Marietta, literally, or we went to my aunt's house on Sandy Plains Road. So we went over to my aunt's house that particular afternoon. It was pouring rain. We visited with them, my cousins. We all played together. And then we were on our way back. We were crossing the railroad track at Sandy Plains Road, just as you get at Canton Highway. And that same, it's a lot bigger now. Then it was only two lanes. And we pulled across there, and I remember the pouring rain. Here we're in an old 58 Chevrolet. My dad stopped the car. Nothing unusual. That's a train track. No train was coming, however. I was in the back seat. I was short, always have been. Couldn't see. I mean, I stood up, and I looked out, and my dad got out of that car in the rain, pouring, and walked in front of our car and walked probably about to all this wall right over here that far, and there was a man lying on the railroad track, literally. My dad bent over him, looked at him, made sure he was breathing, which he was. And then he ran back to the car. He grabbed an umbrella. He went back to him and called him. And then he called the authorities then, and they came. The gentleman was drunk. My dad did not leave his side until someone came and took care of him. Folks, I remember that as though it were yesterday. And I remember my dad getting in the car, and he would always try to teach us spiritual things like this. And he just simply went back to Matthew 25:40. When you do that to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. What the heart of service is all about is giving your life to somebody else. And I commend you, Jane, and all you workers in the Sunshine Department. And I commend all of you all because you give your life to someone else. The Lord said he didn't come to this earth to serve, or to be served, but to serve. And folks, we need to pattern everything Jesus does. Amen? That's what Rebecca was talking about. That's what we talk about together here. That's what the Lord shared in Matthew 25 with his disciples. That's what Sunshine Sunday is all about, in my opinion. A lady who began it with a vision of God to truly minister because she took Matthew 25:40 seriously. Wow. So the challenge is real. I want every one of us in this house, wherever God leads you, wherever he may put you this week, maybe in the restaurant, the lady or the man who is waiting on you, it may be at the bank, wherever God may put you, you think, wonder what that man or that individual has faced today before they ever came to work. Wonder what happened in their home last night. And then you make it a point to exhort, to build up that person. Will you make that commitment today? Folks, you've made a commitment to this department, or they wouldn't be sitting here. And I am so proud of every one of you. I am so proud of what this ministry means. But all of us, wherever we go, and you know this, I'm like what Rebecca said, she feels like she's preaching to the choir. You do this. But folks, you go out of here today, and let's take on the challenge to do Matthew 25:40 like we've never, ever done. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you have challenged us this morning. We have seen ministry in front of us happen and take place. And Lord, we've seen Matthew 25:40 literally lived in front of us. And now, Father, it's been modeled for us. We have to go out and do it like never before. And I'm asking you, Father, for everyone under the sound of my voice, including this preacher, and Lord, you put us in that situation this week. However you may choose to do it, wherever it may choose to be, where we can intentionally realize, hey, this is what Randy was talking about Sunday. And God, you're telling me right now, I need to exhort this person. And then you do that. You make sure something good, something positive, something uplifting comes out of your mouth to that individual. Lord, thank you for the power of this morning. Thank you for our Sunshine Department. Thank you for Rebecca and her family and her ministry in this community, her work. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come right here together as the body of Christ and commit to Matthew 25:40. You make it so, Father. You make it so. I pray it in the very name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And folks, the song is very simple. Without him. Myron Lefebvre wrote it years ago. Good guy, good friend. Incredible songwriter. Let that be our commitment this morning. This altar is open for prayer. This whole place is open for decision for God. And folks, let's just make a decision. That, Lord, you lead me, which you will. You know, sometimes we pray for guidance. God guides the child of God every day of his life. Folks, I just got to have enough sense to follow him. So God's going to guide you and lead you to that person. There's no doubt. You just ask God for the common sense to realize it and the spiritual sense to realize it when it happens. This is a God thing. He's put you together. And when he does, you take advantage of it. Wow. That's the commitment I want us all to make. I join with you this morning. Would you stand with us, please? Matthew and I and Doug are here. Any response you have, I want you to come as we sing together that little chorus, Without Him.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn. Yeah. Jesus, thank God I'm saved.
That's right. Yes. Sing that.
Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away.
It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you all. Wonderful time. And let me tell you about next Sunday. Next Sunday, Olive Springs is, August the 12th is the day. But next Sunday, we're going to celebrate our 130th birthday as a church. Can you imagine? 100? Yeah.
Right.
130 years. Yes. And we're going to have a great meal together. We're going to have church. And let me tell you, we're going to have an incredible time. You've seen this little poster up everywhere for the last weeks, and it's been in your bulletin. Here is the front of the bulletin, which you can't see, for next week, which has kind of the four stages of our buildings, with the newest right here in the renovation, right here on the very front, all ready to go. And we've got the choir's going to do three specials. Let me tell you, we got three people sharing testimonies. It's going to be something else. And I've never known Baptists to get together to eat and not have enough food.
Right.
So there will be food, and we're going to have church. And so this week, I want you to get on the phone, the email, and the Facebook, and everywhere else, and just tell people we're having homecoming. And then on your street, you invite your neighbors. Everybody just come. We're going to have a good old time next Sunday. But we're starting at 10 o'clock. Now, we're not going to have our Sunday school hour. We'll come, get here. If you want to come early, we'll have some coffee and maybe some water and all this down in the fellowship hall, if you like, before that. And then at 10 o'clock, we're going to begin our worship service in here at 10 o'clock. We'll finish at 11:30. I'll just tell you, it's going to last an hour and a half. But it'll go by so quick, you'll want it to continue. And then we're going to go down and eat. You may want to stay a while after that. But we're just going to have a good old time in the Lord. Don't miss that next week. Whatever you do, don't. It's going to be a great time. A lot of folks have been invited. And folks, we're going to have Revival Sunday. So just be here and be a part of that. Don't miss it. And I'm glad you're here. It's a joy to be your pastor. And I tell you what. Doug, glad you're here, my brother. I'm going to pray. I will. Do you all need to leave Jane early, or do we got everybody that needs to have already gone downstairs? Don't you thank God for our sunshine folks?
Amen.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. Let me tell you, I love them. We're going to bless the food for this group as they go down to eat and whatever, and we thank you all for being here this morning. Rebecca, thank you, my dear, for coming and sharing of your ministry. Jane Amen. Told me about you. We appreciate you. And these folks will be praying for you in your law work as well, but also in your ministry with these two groups and for your family. What a testimony. Amen, folks?
Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
Very much. Thank you.
Thank
you. Yeah. Let's pray together before we go and before Doug closes us out. Let's pray. Father, it's been good to be in this house because you set aside this day, Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week, as the Lord's Day. And I thank you, Lord, for the folks gathered in this house. And I thank you for why we've gathered, to worship the true and living God. And Lord, because of the ministry of this church and the people practicing Matthew 25:40, I just want to say thank you for our Sunshine Department, for our entire Sunday school and all the outreach ministries of this church. And I thank you, Father, you are implanting constantly in people's hearts and minds the passion to do Matthew 25:40. And that's reality this morning in our Sunshine Department. Bless them. And Father, many have prepared the food now that they're about to eat, and they've got things ready and taken care of things. Father, bless those who have. Bless this food. May it be strength to our physical bodies. And Father, may it be fellowship around the tables. True koinonia, Lord Jesus, your unity, your fellowship. And now, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing and with your power in the very name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen. Brother Doug.